This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is a common practice in Eastern Africa and Madagascar as well, in Diocese of Toliar, that when the bishop gets up to speak, or in Eastern Africa, when the priest or the clergy or pastor gets up to speak, he raises his right hand and says, Drauni Tumpu, which means praise the Lord. And everyone else raises their right hand and says, Amen. Drauni Tumpu.
Amen.
You guys are quick learners. Great. I feel right at home. Thank you. I wanted to start out by just sharing a little bit about a particular story. A number of years ago, I went to Bible college, and I was quite excited about going to Bible college and so on. And as I went there, during orientation, they began to explain different things regarding academic requirements and so on. They also spent time discussing about a code of conduct. And so they told us what our responsibilities were and different things like that. They began to explain to us the things that we could do and the things that we couldn't do. They explained, for instance, that you would have to study at a certain time. You'd have to go to chapel every day. And you couldn't date girls either the first semester. That was a real bummer for me. I thought that was the reason why I was going to college, was to find a mate for life. Well, over my time, I think I broke probably every one of the rules that they had set up. But the neat thing about it was that God was preparing something in my heart that I necessarily wasn't aware of that beforehand. I kind of saw them as rules and so on. But I think what God really was doing was trying to develop character in my life. And God knows that there was some building that needed to take place. And so as a result of this, things were happening in my life as I was trying to build up disciplines that ultimately affect my character. Have you ever heard of the saying before? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow character, reap destiny. And so it's something that has to be intentional about our lives as Christians. And so we need to go about developing disciplines and so on so that we can ultimately affect our character. Isn't it interesting that the passage that we read and saw up here from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, was talking about that developing the character and so on. It's interesting that when Jesus was speaking to his disciples for chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 of Matthew, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the time where he begins to invest his lives in the lives of disciples. Now, we don't have time to look at chapter 4 or chapter 3, but prior to that, Jesus is baptized. He goes out into the wilderness where he's tempted, and then he calls his 12 disciples. And then chapter 5, he begins with the Beatitudes. And so he begins to pour his life into the lives of those 12 disciples. And he begins to teach them. Now, in many ways, he wasn't necessarily teaching them anything new in terms of God's original intent. But he was talking about developing character in their lives. And he speaks truth to them, and he says that you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. He wasn't saying, well, you know, maybe in the future you will do this. No. He was speaking truth to them. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And so when he spoke truth to them, he saw the potential that they had. Now, when we look at salt, for instance, we think of salt as something that we use to preserve. At least in the olden days, they used to do that. And most of the world, they still use salt for preservation. When I travel out in the remote areas in Madagascar, sometimes I'll see this meat that's just hanging there. and it's being preserved, salt, you know. In some cases, you know, in other places in the world, they're using different types of preservation. My sister-in-law once had this hamburger that she preserved for 1 year. It's from McDonald's. I kind of like McDonald's, but I can't go there because it doesn't like me anymore. But the fact is that this hamburger was preserved the same way that it was a year ago as it was then. It's incredible. But I'm going off the story a little bit here. The whole idea is preservation. So there are certain things that we receive that the Lord God has spoken that we receive and preserve those things. They become treasures to us. But it's also interesting that salt is used for flavoring as well. I know I used to like salt. I still do like salt. But my wife has kind of limited me to certain salt intake. But I know when I have mashed potatoes, which I don't have very often. Usually when I come to the States, I have. And French fries. I know I'm not supposed to have a lot of those. But I like to put salt on them. And it flavors it in a different way. And it's interesting that the flavoring is about us being the salt, right? Going into wherever we are, into a community, and flavoring the community in the way in which God has created you and I. To have an impact in that community. Why? Because I believe that we become God's witnesses. Now, there are some things that we do in Madagascar. In the earlier service, we had this big confirmation that took place. And I shared with them, and I'm going to share today, a little bit about what we do in terms of preparing people for confirmation. We believe that it's important to teach people disciplines. It's interesting that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 through 7, it talks about righteousness. It talks about acts of righteousness. In chapter 6, it specifically mentions three different acts of righteousness. And Jesus was promoting those acts of righteousness. But they were contrasting the other religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were abusing it and missing the whole point. The point in developing disciplines in our lives is to help to develop character. Now, the six things that we do, and I'm not going to spend a whole time. Usually it takes a long time. It takes like 5 to 6 months to go through this. And I don't think I can speak for 5 or 6 months. And I don't think you want to stay here for 5 or 6 months either. So the deal is that I'll just go through these very quickly. And I'll let you all follow up on them. The first one is this. We encourage our people in the discipline of daily devotions. In the discipline of daily devotions. You notice I didn't say quiet time. Well, we're in Africa, we're in Madagascar, and nothing's quiet there. So we don't call it quiet time, we call it daily devotions. And so we're getting into God's word every day. And in Madagascar and in Africa, you wouldn't do things alone. So you do them in groups. So we come to church every morning at 6 a.m. You heard me correctly, 6 a.m. Some people probably don't believe that God's even awake at that time. But he is. It's amazing. He's awake at that time. And so we go at 6 a.m. We have our daily devotions. We spend 10 minutes praising God. Sort of like what we were doing today. We don't have the band. But some people can praise at whatever level they want to praise. Whether it's audibly or silently. And then we spend 10 minutes looking at God's word. Individually, they're reading whatever their daily devotion is. And they're reflecting on God's word. And then they're spending 10 minutes praying. And so we're expecting this all to happen with all of our people. So when we prepare people to confirm, we're preparing them on how they can continue to grow in their own faith. And so one of it is providing disciplines. And this one is daily devotion. Now I must confess, we're in a church, good place to confess. I'll be the first one to confess. For years, and even when I was a priest, I just told people how important daily devotions were. Yet, I wasn't doing it. Yeah, I struggled with it. I admit, it's difficult. It wasn't until about 9 years ago when I was training evangelists and we were training this program, and then I blurted out, you know, and we're going to start doing this 6 o'clock a.m. I don't know why I said that. It had to be God divined. But that meant I had to get up at 6 too and be there. And so ever since then, I've started to do this. And you know what? It changes you. It changes me. My wife can confirm. She'll know when I haven't had my daily devotion. And so getting it right from the beginning, every morning, has been awesome. And so we're excited about that. So daily devotions, our people are confirmed. You know, we're expecting that they're going to be having their daily devotions. We teach them how to do it. We encourage them. Second thing is giving. We encourage our people to give. God, He's the one who gave first. He gave His only begotten Son for you and I. Who's, you know, this sacred thing, His only Son. And He gave it for you and I. So that Jesus could come into the world, so that He could live a life which glorified God, that He would go upon the cross. Well, you and I are the ones that should be up there. But He took all the sins from the past, present, and future, and He put them upon Himself for you and I. So that we could have life eternal, we could be reconciled back to God. Now that's cool, that's awesome, but it was through God giving His Son. And He wants us to give back to Him. And so we have the opportunity to give of our time, to give of our talents, and to give of our tithe. And so we encourage our people to give of the. In Madagascar, most of them own crops. And so we tell them about giving their crops, giving the harvest 10% to the Lord. We talk about giving of their animals and so on. It's very exciting, but this is all new for them. Giving back to the Lord what He's already given to us. We're stewards. So we talk about giving. And then the third thing, we talk about obedience. Obedience to God's word. But that means that we have to be in God's word to understand God more fully. We need to be in the written revelation and studying God's word so that we can grow and mature. And that's very, very exciting, I think. But it means that we have to be in it. Beginning that. And studying God's word. And it transforms us. God's word says it's living and active. That's what's so exciting. Yeah, I started reading God's word. You know what? I actually started to believe some of it. And it changed me. And that's awesome, and that's exciting. So the first discipline that we teach are daily devotions. The second thing is about giving. The third thing is about obedience to God's word. The fourth thing that we teach is fasting. How many of you like to fast? Raise your hand. How many of you like to eat? Yeah, right. Party. Okay. We love to eat. But we teach in Madagascar about fasting. It helps us to unite just in a little way with the suffering that Jesus incurred. Suffering for Christ. But we don't like to talk in America. We don't like to talk about suffering. You know, we see that as a curse. But I think it's a blessing. It brings us to places where we don't feel comfortable about, but it's places where God transforms us. And it begins with fasting. In Madagascar, people don't fast by choice. But then we started teaching our people about fasting. We teach them about fasting for Lent, and we choose a day and we all fast together. A great privilege that I've had out through the years is with my children. Is that we would fast together. And then when they went off to university, they would call me and say, what day are we fasting? And I remember with my wife, the one of the first times I think I fasted. And we wanted to fast to discern God's will, whether we were going to be called together. She wasn't my wife at that point. So I guess I already gave you the punchline. But the point was we began to fast for 3 days. And I kind of kidded with her afterwards. I said, you know, after fasting for 3 days, I was ready to say anything. But it was clear that God was moving in our lives. When we became vulnerable to him, and believe me, we're very vulnerable as we fast, we become more dependent upon God. And that's where I want to be in my life, where I'm dependent upon him and what he's doing. So we teach about fasting. The fifth thing that we teach about is sharing our faith. Evangelism. Now, sometimes we don't like to talk about evangelism and so on. You know, evangel is actually the Greek word which talks about the good news. So that's good news when we talk about Jesus. You all heard me, right? It's good news when we talk about Jesus, right? You know, somehow we have in our society says there's, you know, a couple things that you can't talk about, right? Politics is one and religion is the other. It's good news to talk about Jesus. And that's what's exciting, because it is good news. Because we're reconciled back to God through Jesus and what he's done. So that is good news. You guys all understand? Everyone's going, yeah. It is. It's good news. Amen. See, I feel like I'm back in there. You need to raise your hand. Say amen, right? Amen. Good. We're getting on. Great. It's good news. And that's what's awesome. So in the New Testament, it says that we can go out and do this. What does Jesus say to his 11 disciples, right before he's ascending? He tells them to go. Go. He commissions them, right? To go and make disciples. As he did back then, he commissions us to go. Our harvest field is out there. And believe it or not, you all in the next 30 minutes, you're going to be out there. You're going to be out in the harvest field. You're going to be out in the place where God wants you. And you have the opportunity to share your faith. And believe it or not, God is trusting in you. Desmond Tutu, he once said, even if you don't believe in God, God still believes in you. Isn't that awesome? He's saying, come on, I'm believing in you. Isn't great? God hasn't changed. We're the ones that change. And then we come to terms that when we're in a right relationship with God, it's amazing. He starts using people such as you and I. And as was mentioned before, in 2007, we went back to Madagascar. I went back as the assistant bishop, and they told me I had to start a new diocese in southern Madagascar. And so I like challenges. This was a big challenge. It's the size of Florida. And we had 11 churches when we got there. And the church, the mother church, just to clarify this, the mother church was the place where I'd start, which is, that's a good place, right? Yeah, that would be good if it had a roof. It'd be good if it was completed. It'd be good if it had more than 20 people worshiping. It'd be good if it wasn't in a slum. But that's where God placed us. I don't know how many bishops live in a slum. Now, their house may look like a slum, but I don't know how many bishops live in a slum. And yet, that's where the Lord placed us. And that's where God was able to move and to transform us as well as transforming the community. So we went from 11 churches to 45 churches. In the last 6 years, we've gone from 300 people to nearly 4,000 people worshiping. Now, that's nothing for me, but that's what God is doing, and that's where God is working. And part of the DNA is that people are sharing their faith. They're getting excited about that. Last year, we had this training for our youth, and I told the clergy, so I want this permeating throughout our diocese. And so when we had all the youth come, we did a training. It was 6 days. We trained for 3 days on how to share their faith. And then we went out for 3 days and started a new church. We want everybody involved in sharing their faith. And what better person to be involved but you? But you, a child of God. And that's the way that God looks at it. You know, you're here, you're great, you're wonderful, you're created in his image. He's just encouraging you to represent him and to share the good news of Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the fifth one, the fifth discipline. Remember, this is all about developing character. And if you want to develop it, go and share your faith with someone, and then you really have to begin to trust in God. And then the last one is about making disciples. making disciples. Jesus said at the end when he commissioned all his people, his major intent was for them to make disciples. It's in the imperative form in the Greek in Matthew 28. And he sends them to make disciples. That's what you're all called to do. To make disciples. Each and every one of us. Now, I know at least when Patsy and I got married and so on, I know one of the things that my in-laws were always wondering, say, when are you going to start having children? Or, you know, little comments that would come out like that. Because they were looking forward to adding some children. We weren't in any rush. We had to finish seminary and so on. But we love having children. We love having children. We pour our lives into our children. We teach them how to eat. Teach them how to eat properly. We teach them how to dress. Or we try to. Yeah? We teach them. We invest our time and energy into them. We watch them grow up. We pray for them. Then there comes a time when they get married. And 2 years ago, my oldest daughter got married. And I was very excited, but very sad as well. Because I love my time with her. But I know that someday that she's going to start having children. And then I'll be a grandfather or a grandpa or a pop-pop, whatever we call. And then I'll begin to spoil the grandchildren. You all know what that's like, spoiling, yeah? Yeah, we love. It's great, right? We love to spoil our grandchildren, right? We're so proud of them. Well, you know, I think that Jesus thinks the same thing when we have spiritual grandchildren. So when we're able to make disciples, we have spiritual children. We invest in them. And then we hope that they will then reproduce and have spiritual grandchildren so that we can invest, so that they can invest in them, and it's reproduced. The only difficulty is that in life, that we think that if we come to church on Sundays, that we've taken care of our spiritual growth and our spiritual disciplines for the week. But what if I asked you, if you only ate one day a week, would that be enough for the rest of the week for you? No. There's no way. I mean, I know when I fast, I'm thinking about food the whole time. So, come on, we have to be honest. We're in church now. Yeah. But why do we think the same when it comes to our spiritual growth? And that's a question that I ask myself as well. And so we need to be growing. We need to be making disciples. We need to be pouring ourselves into the lives of others and developing spiritual disciplines. And I think it's possible. But we have to take that first step to begin to develop, so we will develop our character in such a way that will glorify God. You know, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow character, reap destiny. That's what we're looking at, in such a way that would glorify God. So let me end with one story with you, one last story. I like to tell stories. People don't remember theology, but they remember stories. And stories help them to remember theology. There's a story about this man who wants to go fishing. Is there anybody here who likes fishing? Good. Well, some of you, good. I like fishing, so I'm going to tell you the story. It's about a man who's going to go fishing. He goes into the bait area, the tackle box, and the shop, whatever the shop is, and he's looking at everything in there. And while he's looking in there, he meets this other guy. This other guy is a undercover fish and game warden. Undercover. So he's got his clothes underneath, but he's got overhauls and so on over it, so you can't recognize that he's. And so they start talking, as most fishermen do. They all talk about their past fish that they caught. And so they're talking about this and so on. And then finally the guy is going fishing, asks the game warden. He says, oh, you know, not knowing that he's a game warden, why didn't you come with me? Why don't we just go out and fish together? Okay. So they go out and they get into their boat and they turn on the motor and they go out to the middle or wherever they're going to go. And then they set down the anchor and turn off the motor and so on. But as they were going out, the game warden notices there's no fishing poles out here. There's no fishing poles in the boat. But we're going fishing. So they get out there and the guy opens up these two... He opens up this bag. He's got a big black bag. And he opens it up, and he pulls out a stick of dynamite. And he lights it, and as it's going down, he throws it off to the left. Kaboom! All these dead fish then rise to the top. And he begins to collect all these fish, and he puts them in his boat. And the warden's getting pretty peeved about this. He's not so excited. What's this guy doing? You know, and he's just getting real frustrated. And the guy opens up the other bag and he pulls out some dynamite and he lights that and he throws it off to the right and kaboom! And all the fish come to the top and he gathers all the fish, puts them in his boat. And so by this time, the game warden, he's furious. He's really angry. He tears off his overalls and he looks right at the guy and he goes, I'm a game warden. I'm a fishing game warden, and you have violated 9 regulations according to what I see here. And the guy just ignores him and gets into his back again, and he pulls out another stick of dynamite, and he lights it, goes down and down and down and down, and goes right down to the end, and he then hands it to the fish warden, game warden. He says, are you going to fish or are you going to talk? And I think sometimes as Christians, we get hooked up with a lot of talking, and we don't do a whole lot of fishing. And for us today, what I want us to look at is look at the opportunity of developing disciplines in our lives that ultimately affect our character. And I think that if we begin to do that, as the Lord has called us to do, we can transform not only our lives, but lives of others, and to make a difference in the world in which we live. And as Jesus said to his disciples, he continues to say to us, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.